Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. While Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were thus talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only smiled slightly and remained silent. At that time, a Brahmin came there to meet the Lord. Please repeat. While Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were thus talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only smiled slightly and remained silent. At that time, a Brahmin came there to meet the Lord. Purport. Because the blasphemy was cast against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he did not feel sorry, and therefore he was smiling. This is ideal Vaishnava behavior. One should not become angry upon hearing criticism of himself. But if other Vaishnavas are criticized, one must be prepared to act as previously suggested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very compassionate for his pure devotees, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar. Therefore, by his grace, this Brahmin immediately came to him. By his omnipotence, the Lord created this situation for the happiness of his devotees. Amagyana timinandasya ganandana shalakaya chakshurum milatam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate gurim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupakadamayam tadati swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Kaudavaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpat rubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. While Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were thus talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only smiled slightly and remained silent. At that time, a Brahmin came there to meet the Lord. So, firstly, an apology for anyone who was expecting to hear Bhakti Rasamrita Swami this morning. Somehow or another. Anyway, we're here speaking, so... Anyway, today's topic is how to tolerate. So you'll have to tolerate me today, I'm afraid. So just to give a brief background to where we're up to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, firstly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented in this universe to inundate the whole universe with love of God. But later on, earlier on in this chapter, it's described that some persons were escaping this complete inundation of the universe. Just like if anyone's read Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati's Sri Chaitanya Chandramritam, there's some beautiful prayers where he said that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, the whole universe drowned. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sri Gauranitaya ki. He describes how the whole universe became drowned in love of God. But out of his humility, he says, but not one single drop of love of God touched me. So it seems that there were certain persons who were escaping this complete inundation. So it's described that the impersonalists, they had escaped. The fruitive workers, the false logicians, the blasphemers, the non-devotees, and the lowest of the student community. Sometimes we find it hard to engage the students on Sankirtan. They've never got any money. Oh, I'm always skint. But anyway, the lowest of the student community. Because Lord Chaitanya's students, they were criticizing him. Lord Chaitanya, he was chanting the names of the gopis. And they were saying, what are you doing? You should be chanting the name of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chased them away. He wanted to beat them. But anyway, so after some deliberation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to take sannyas. Because in this way, then people would show him respect. Because in India, still today, if someone is a sannyasi, then everyone respects them. Even Srila Prabhupada, one time, he was walking on the beach with some of his disciples, and they walked past some Mayavadi sannyasis. And his own disciples, they didn't offer respect. And Prabhupada chastised them. He said, no, you should offer respect to a sannyasi. Okay, they're Mayavadi sannyasis, but at least, you know, externally we should offer our pranams. Because there's an injunction in the Vedas, isn't it? If you don't offer your obeisances to a Vaishnav, to a sannyasi when you sing them, then you have to fast all day. So at least if we want to eat that day, then we have to offer our obeisances. But like this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew that people would show him respect and therefore they would be favored. So earlier on in this chapter, it's described that all of these persons, they all became delivered, except for one particular group of persons, which was these impersonalists, these Mayavadi sannyasis. And Prabhupada explains earlier on in the chapter that particularly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to deliver the Mayavadi sannyasis. That was one of his main reasons. So like this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he devised many means to deliver or to liberate the fallen souls. So Prabhupada also said that we should also use our intelligence. We should tax our brains to see how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So we have wonderful devotees like Vaisheshika Prabhu has so many innovative ways to deliver the fallen souls. When he was here a couple of years ago, he showed us a nice slideshow presentation. And even to the extent that someone can take a dog out for a walk, and on the dog, like sometimes you see a dog wearing like a coat if it's cold. So he devised one coat for the dog, and on this coat is two little pockets where you can put some books. So you're taking your dog for a walk in the morning, and then someone says, oh, that's a nice dog. What are those? Oh, take a look. Here's a book, you know. So he's very expert at innovating how to tax his brain, how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And so at this point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya, he's traveled to Vrindavan through Varanasi, and then these Mayavadi sannyasis, they were criticizing him. But it's described that he didn't really pay too much attention to it. He carried on to Mathura. And then when he came back from Mathura, then he was staying in the house of Tapan Mishra, who was obviously a householder. So this was even more fuel for criticism for the Mayavadi sannyasis. He is a sannyasi. He is chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist. He's not studying the Vedanta Sutra. And he's living with a householder. What kind of a sannyasi is he? Some young upstart. Because of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is only, is described that on the verge of his 25th year, that was when he took sannyas. So he's just some young sannyasi, what does he know? And at this time then Sanatana Goswami, he came to see Lord Chaitanya, and for 2 months Lord Chaitanya instructed him in the ideal behavior of a Vaishnava, which Sanatana Goswami later compiled in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anyway, so at this point here, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they've been criticizing Lord Chaitanya, saying that he's just chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist. He's not studying the Vedanta Sutra. But as Lord Chaitanya will later on explain, he said that at the time of his initiation, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took when he took initiation, his spiritual master said, you are fool number one. You are a fool. You are not qualified to study Vedanta Sutra. You do not have the intelligence. Therefore, you should simply chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he gave him one verse. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyatam. Every Gaudiya Vaishnava should know this verse. In this iron age of Kali, there is no other means for deliverance but to chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Just like sometimes we meet the Christians on the streets, our Christian brothers and sisters, and they say, Jesus Christ is the only way. And we can also quote, no, chanting the holy name is the only way, it is the only way, it is the only way. Prabhupada explains that something is repeated three times, that means it's very important. You know, you get the message, right? So, and by this demonstration, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing that he had implicit faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. Because he went away and he chanted this Hare Krishna mantra, and then he went back and he had some doubts. He was kind of inquiring from his spiritual master. He said, what is this mantra you've given me? By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, I've become like a madman. I'm crying, I'm fainting in ecstasy, I'm rolling around on the floor. What is this? Was this the right result from chanting this mantra? And then his spiritual master explains. He says, no, actually, he said, you have achieved the perfection of this mantra. This is the perfection that one experiences ecstatic symptoms. But like this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was demonstrating that one should have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master. Yasya Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Tathagaro Tasyaiti Katiti Yata Prakashanti Mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So actually, Srila Prabhupada said that this was the most important verse in all of the Vedas. That one should have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master. In this way, all of Vedic knowledge will be automatically revealed. And Srila Prabhupada, he was one of the best examples of this. Srila Prabhupada said that his only success was that he tried very strictly to follow the instructions of his spiritual master. And like this, one can make advancement. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati katopi. But if one doesn't follow the instructions of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. But anyway, even in spite of that, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya that he wasn't studying Vedanta. But what does Vedanta mean? Vedanta means the end of knowledge, the end of all knowledge. So then Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the end of all knowledge is to know him. Vedaischa sarva aham eva vedyo Vedanta krid Vedavid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas and the knower. I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So therefore, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. These two things. If you don't remember anything else at all from this class, sometimes we go into the class and we're just, you know, we're kind of listening. But then you come out of the class and someone says, well, what was the class like? You said, yeah, it was good. Well, what did the speaker talk about? Well, I don't really remember, but he was enthusiastic anyway. So at least if we can remember this. This is the essence, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Smarta vyasa tatam vishnu vishma tavyo najatu chit. Savi vidi nishedasho etiyo eva kinkara. Krishna is the source of Vishnu. He must always be remembered and never be forgotten at any times. All the rules and prohibitions of the Shastras should be the servant of these two principles. And what is the best way to remember Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because from Shravanam Kirtanam comes Vishnu Smaranam. From hearing and chanting comes remembrance of Krishna. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna, what comes next? More chanting? Yeah, and who said someone else there? Hare Rama, that's right, yeah. In case someone forgets the Maha Mantra, Hare Rama comes next. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Or sometimes, actually, in Indian circles, sometimes it's Hare Rama first and Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he changed it around because I was hearing this the other day actually. One devotee was explaining that this Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare is a Vedic mantra. And therefore, no one was qualified to chant the Vedic mantras, only the Brahmins. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he changed it around so that everyone can chant with great enthusiasm. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now what I was going to say, what comes next after chanting Hare Krishna is dancing, yes. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that the first symptom or the first sign that one has come to the spiritual platform is that one begins to dance. Just like yesterday, before the Sankirtan Marathon Festival, Radha London Shwaraprabhu was leading a very nice bhajan. But then at one point, it just became too much for everyone. Everyone was there. Oh, I want to dance. I want to dance. And then one person got up, and then everyone was up. We were all dancing in ecstasy. We couldn't help ourselves. And just like last night, we went on this Harinam, the late night Harinam, in central London. And if anyone was there last night, we saw so many people just spontaneously wanted to come and start chanting and dancing with us. So they were on the spiritual platform. So from chanting comes dancing. And actually, one time I had this experience a couple of years ago when my spiritual master was here in the UK. We celebrated his Vyasa Puja. And he was really encouraging us to dance for those 3 days that he was here. He was saying, don't be a wallflower. Don't hang around in the back, you know, in the corner, you know, just hanging around attached to the wall. He said, when Prabhupada was here, all it required was for Prabhupada just to go in the middle of the kirtan. And he said the devotees would be bouncing off the ceiling. So we were taking this to heart and we were dancing like madmen. Dancing like bouncing off the ceiling. And actually what happened was I got so carried away with enthusiastic dancing that I damaged my knee. And I tore the ligaments and I broke the cartilage. So that was, so that was what happened after my enthusiastic dancing. And I was out of action for about 6 months. My knee's fine now, but I had to go to the physiotherapist and I couldn't bow down for about 6 months. I had to sit in class on a chair. Shiva Ramaswamy came to our temple and he said, what are you sitting on the chair for? How old are you? You know, he's, I was really embarrassed. I'm 32, Maharaj. What are you sitting on there? I had to explain. I've damaged my knee and I was thinking, what am I going to be able to do? And people were saying, well, how's your knee? And I was saying, well, the knee's okay, but the worst, the biggest pain was the fact that I had to sit there in the kirtan on a chair while everyone else was dancing. And I was like, oh, I was just wanting to get up and dance. But I knew if I'd get up and dance, I would damage my knee even more. So the biggest pain is not being, how can we stop ourselves dancing when the kirtan, I wasn't in the kirtan this morning, but as I came down, I was like, oh, immediately I wanted to dance. And the singer Tirtha Prabhu was leading a very nice kirtan. So how can we stop ourselves chanting, dancing, and feasting? This is our process. So it's a very simple process, chanting, dancing, and feasting. We chant, and we dance, and then we get tired, and we take prasad. And then we get more energy from taking prasad, and then we chant and we dance some more. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had one great associate, Vakrashwar Pandit. And it's described how one time Vakrashwar Pandit, he danced for 72 hours continuously. 3 days and three nights, chanting and dancing. Now who can do that? Even in today's society, in the nightclubs, people may take so many different intoxications. And that, you know, they can stay up all night and like that. But who can dance and chant for 72 hours? So that means they're acting on the spiritual energy. Mahatmanas tu mam pata daivim prakritim ashrita. So devotees, they're under the spiritual energy. Actually, Gauranga Prabhu, I don't know if Gauranga is here, he was telling me last night that he's a personal fitness trainer now. And he damaged his knee. He fell, he slipped coming down the London Underground. And he said he did some grade 2 tear of his tendon in his ankle. And he said his ankle was swollen up like anything. And he said that his ankle's just been hurting so much. And he went out on the New Year's Eve Harinam, and he really wanted to dance. And so he said when he was dancing, he didn't feel any pain in his ankle at all. When he was engaged in Krishna service, only when he stopped afterwards did he feel the pain. So anyway, sometimes it's like that. When we become so absorbed in chanting and dancing, or we become so absorbed in our service, that we don't notice our bodily ailments. Therefore, Prabhupada said that this kirtan is the safest place to be in the entire universe. So we should always be in kirtan, always chanting Hare Krishna. So even though these Mayavadi sannyasis, they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya, you're simply chanting, dancing, and feasting. This is bogus. Bogus. You should be studying Vedanta Sutra. But actually, Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't disturbed at all by this criticism. He was exemplifying our most important verse. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most important instruction then one should practice Trinadapi, Sanichana, Todorapi, Sahishnana, Amanina, Manidina, Kirtaneya, Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects unto others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most important instruction. I was reading Srila Prabhupada was saying that. And so therefore he wasn't disturbed at all. He was practicing tolerance and he was practicing humility. So therefore this verse, it said that, Kaviraj Goswami, he said that one should string this verse around the neck and one should wear it for continuous remembrance. Govinda Maharaj, he one time said, this is the mission statement of ISKCON. Just like in the army. I don't know if anyone here was ever in the army. Any people in the army? Anyway, you have your mission, so, sir, yes sir, what's my mission? And they, okay, I want you to go behind. Just like one time, my Guru Maharaj was telling this story about the Gurkhas from Nepal, that these Gurkhas in the British Army, they're fearless. Do we have anyone here from Nepal? Any Nepalese people? He was saying that the Gurkhas are known for being fearless in battle. So this was a true story. One time, this British officer in the army, he gave them their mission statement. Okay, there was a room full of Gurkhas. He said, okay, we're going to drop you from 20,000 feet behind enemy lines. Who's up for it? And then half of the Gurkhas put their hand up, half of the room. And then this British officer said, what is this? Only half of you are putting your hands up? You are Gurkhas. You are world renowned for your courageousness, your fearlessness, your bravery. Why are you only, you're not all enthusiastic for this mission? And then one of the Gurkhas reluctantly put up his hand and said, sir, he said, I don't think I can survive a fall of 20,000 feet. He said, no, we're going to give you parachutes. So immediately they all put their hands up. Just to show their courageousness. Half of them were prepared to do the jump without a parachute. We could do with some Gurkhas in the Hare Krishna movement. There'll be fearless preachers. We need fearless preachers in this movement, ready to take all risks for Krishna. We'll drop them 20,000 feet over Pakistan, and they'll be coming in playing madanga in the air. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Some of them will even do it without a parachute. So this was their mission statement, but the mission statement of anyone who's in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army, because Prabhupada often described that, he said, our temples are not places for people to be eating and sleeping. The temple is no place for the lazies and the crazies. He said, no, our temples are bases where we send out our soldiers and we will drop unlimited bombs on the conditioned souls, on the laps of the conditioned souls, these transcendental book distribution. In fact, we have three weapons in our fight against Maya. Maya, she has her trident, right, of Adiatmika Klesha, Adibhautika Klesha, Adidaivika Klesha. Misery is coming from the body and mind, like it's Sunday, we're all tired today, oh, when's it breakfast, when's it going to be quiet, and we can, you know, the body is giving some pain, and, you know, misery is coming from other living entities. In Scotland, we have the midge, the famous midge. It's like a little, if you look at a midge through the a microscope, it's just like a big mouth with wings. And these midges, they just bite you everywhere. Or someplace you have mosquitoes. And then misery is coming from natural phenomenon. Just like at one time, it said that the sun never set on the British Empire. But nowadays, the sun never rises on the British Empire. We never get any sun, do we, in the UK. In Scotland, we get one or two days of year, if you're lucky. You maybe get a few more down here. So Maya, she has her trident, threefold miseries, which is inflicting upon the living entities. But we also have a trident. We have a three-pronged attack on Maya. Well, not so much on Maya, because, of course, Maya, she's also a devotee. It's not so much that we're against Maya, but we're against the conditioning of the living entities. So therefore our three-pronged attack is to distribute the holy names, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures, and to distribute prasadam. And then in this way we can conquer the influence of Maya. Actually, Prabhupada does say in one purport, I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, becoming a devotee of Krishna is like equal to declaring war on the illusory energy. So therefore, Prabhupada would sometimes speak in this terminology. So he said, our temples are bases from where we send out our soldiers to declare war on Maya, to drop these transcendental bombs in the laps of the conditioned souls. So therefore, this is our mission statement in the Sankirtan army. Trinadapi sanichanatarodapi sahishnana amanina manidina kirtaniya sadahari. And why is that very important? Because in this way, one can chant continuously. This is our philosophy, that we want to chant continuously. Satatam kirtiyanto mam. A devotee is constantly chanting. Prabhupada said, if you have time, chant Hare Krishna. And we chant 16 rounds on the beads. And Prabhupada said you should chant unlimited rounds off the beads. Sometimes our tendency, speaking personally, is as soon as you finish your 16 rounds, you swing the bead bag around and in the corner of the room, and then the next morning you can't find it. Fantastic. Prabhupada even mimicked the devotees one time. He said, now, 16 rounds, he said, now I can do whatever I damn well like. But actually, it should always be time for Krishna. Uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. This will completely satisfy the self. So this is the key to chanting continuously. One has to develop these four qualities of humility, tolerance, offering all respects to others, and not expecting any respect for oneself. So a Vaishnava is striving. Of course, in one sense, by practicing Krishna consciousness nicely, we should automatically be developing these qualities. It's said that all the good qualities of the demigods automatically manifest in the body of a devotee. But still, we should be striving also. Not just that humility means we just, you know, some devotees they say, you know, you offer your choppers, you know, like that, you're like karate, you know. It doesn't just mean that we, you know, walk around. It means we need to develop some genuine, a service attitude. This is one of the most important things in Krishna consciousness, developing a service attitude. There's one nice verse by Advaita Acharya. Sometimes, actually all the time, when my mind doesn't want to serve the devotees, all the time. Just like one time Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj, who was Giriraj Prabhu at that time, he said, how are you, Giriraj? And he said, yes, I'm very well, Srila Prabhupada. He said, but sometimes I fall into Maya. And Prabhupada pointed at him and he said, you are always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So sometimes, I was saying, but actually all the time, my mind doesn't want to serve the Vaishnavas. So there's one nice prayer by Advaita Acharya. He says, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. A servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. So we should remember this prayer when our mind is reluctant to serve the devotees. But we should try and develop this humility. And even the Lord himself possesses this humility. There's one nice story in the Krishna book where the demigods, or the lesser demigods, you could say, and some of the sages, they had some meeting. They were trying to discover who possessed the quality of goodness in full. Was it Lord Shiva? Was it Lord Brahma? Or was it Lord Vishnu? So they nominated one of the sages, Bhrigu Muni. They maybe pulled straws or something. He got the shortest straw. Oh. So then he went to go and see Lord Brahma, who was actually his father. And he went to see Lord Brahma, and he didn't offer any prayers, and he didn't offer his obeisances. But one should offer their spiritual master, one should offer their superiors obeisances. So Lord Brahma, he became very angry. What is this? You're not offering your obeisances? And it's described that in his mind, he became very, very angry. But because he's also very intelligent, it's described that he controlled his anger. And therefore, he didn't externally manifest his anger, but he was prepared to curse Bhrigu Muni. So it's described that there's three types of offenses one can commit. So one is an offense within the mind. Another one is an offense with with your words. Another one is a corporal offense, which is an offense with your body. So it's described that Bhrigu Muni, he committed an offense within his mind to Lord Brahma. And then he next went to see Lord Shiva, who is his brother. And Lord Shiva, he is a very, as we know, Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He's very greatly pleased, very easily pleased, but he's also very easily angered. So then he was he's a Vaishnava, Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu. He's the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. And sometimes we hear different devotees. He's the topmost Vaishnava. She's the topmost Vaishnava. So I heard something recently that within the material world, Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava. And in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, she is the topmost Vaishnava. So Lord Chaitanya Lord Shiva, he is naturally very compassionate. He welcomed his brother. Ah, Bhrigu, brother, so nice to see you. And he put his arms out, went to embrace him. And Bhrigu Muni said, keep away from me. He says, you're covered in ash. You're always hanging around in the crematorium, hanging around with all these ghostly fellows. You're contaminated. I don't want to embrace you. And immediately Lord Shiva, he became so angry. His eyes became filled with rage, and he was just about ready to burn up the entire universe. But it's described that his wife, that time Parvati, she came in and said, okay, calm down, it's okay, he's your brother, it's not going to be so good, you know, don't burn up the entire universe. And she invoked the mode of goodness within Lord Shiva, because of course he's the controller of the mode of ignorance, but he's a Vaishnava. But he was ready to kill his brother, he was ready to burn up the entire universe. So therefore, this was an offense vocally. So then Bhrigu Muni, he then went to Shvetadvip to see Lord Vishnu. And as he entered, Lord Vishnu was lying down and he was being massaged. His feet were being massaged by Lakshmi Devi. And immediately, Lord Vishnu greeted his devotee. Ah, Bhrigu Muni, what an honor to have you here. Is there any service I can render to you? And Bhrigu Muni just came straight in and kicked him right in the chest. He laid the boot in, as colloquial terms would have it. Kick a man while he's down. He kicked him right in the chest. And immediately, Lord Vishnu, he said, oh, Bhrigu Muni. He said, your foot must be paining. He said, my chest is so hard. Your lotus feet are so soft. Please let me massage your feet. And because he's purely in the mode of goodness, Lord Vishnu. And he's transcendental, actually. He's in transcendental goodness. But therefore, he didn't become disturbed. He has supreme humility. Of course, it's described them from that day forward, then the Brahmins are always very poverty-stricken, because Lakshmi Devi, she wasn't too happy. What is this? Therefore, I curse the Brahmins to always be in a poverty-stricken state. That's why sometimes within ISKCON, we're not always so wealthy. Actually, it's a good state to be in. The Brahmins, they voluntarily accept a poverty-stricken state, because in a poverty-stricken state, then there's more dependence upon the Lord. As soon as we become somewhat wealthy, then we become a little bit proud, and then, you know, then it's very easy to forget the Lord. But like this, the Lord himself exhibits this supreme humility. So Srila Prabhupada comments in that pastime, he says that one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. And then how does one do that? Well, there's one nice verse in the Sri Upanishad that says, one who sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. So when one can see that everything is taking place by the will of the Lord, not even a blade of grass moves without his sanction, therefore, there must be some reason for this happening. What can I learn from this situation? Prabhupada also describes how a devotee always thinks when he's experiencing some happiness or when she's experiencing some happiness, then they think, well, actually, I don't deserve this happiness. This must be the Lord's mercy. And similarly, when they're experiencing some distress, they're thinking, oh, actually, I deserve to be suffering much worse than this. This is the Lord's mercy. Another nice situation was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he used to lecture, there was one heckler, just like, you know, sometimes stand-up comedians, they're doing their show and there's one heckler in the audience, and usually the stand-up comedian, they've got some, like, they can heckle them back, you know, they can put them down. But there was one heckler who was always criticizing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Oh, I don't know what he was saying, but he was shouting some abuse, and the devotees, they couldn't tolerate it. Oh, this man, and he used to turn up at every lecture. They'd organize speaking programs, and this, oh, that guy is there, and they wanted to just like Shishupal in the Rajasuya sacrifice. He was blaspheming Krishna, and he had a benediction. He could blaspheme him so many times. How many times was it? 10,000 times or 100 times? And all of the Pandavas, they were, when they could hear this, but they knew that Krishna had given them this benediction 100 times. So they were getting so, and I think Sahadev, or who's the other one? What's his brother? His twin brothers. Nakula. Why the one of them, they were saying, I want to kick his helmet off with my left foot. And they were getting so angry. But then eventually he blasphemed him 101 times, and Krishna said, off with his head. And that wonderful picture in the Krishna book, the double page spread, Shishupal. Sometimes I show that to the young kids. If you're selling to like the moshes, you know, who are into like, you know, gruesome things, and they say, like, I'm not sure if I want that book, you know, and you say, just show them this picture. Whoa, that's cool. Shishupal's head being cut off. One time, one of our devotees, he met someone who said, I've read your Krishna book. On the street, he met, I've read your Krishna book. He said, Krishna, he had 16,108 wives. And this devotee, he was expecting some criticism. Like Prabhupada says, sometimes people say, this Krishna, he is a rascal. He is a womanizer, a philanderer. In fact, someone even said that to me this marathon. I'd never heard it before. Someone on the street, he said, Krishna, he was a rascal. He was, you know. But anyway, so this, he said, Krishna had 16,108 wives. And this devotee was getting prepared to, you know, react. And he said, that's my type of God. He was thinking, yeah, this is very good. Sorry. Yeah, that's my, yeah, 16,000 wives, that's the way to go. So, I like this. Anyway, so there was this heckler. He was always heckling Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and the devotees, they couldn't tolerate it. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he never said anything. He didn't ever show any signs of becoming disturbed. But one day, the devotees, they heard some really good news, and there was a big kirtan in the temple. Hari Bol, Hari Nitai Gora, Hari. And they went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Guru Maharaj, fantastic news. And he looked up, he said, what is that? He said, you know that heckler? That person who's always calling you names and blaspheming you? He said, yes. He said, he has died. And they all went, Haribol! Usually the devotees are, you know, paradukaduki. They're sad to see the suffering of others. But in this particular case, they were very happy. Just like it said in the Shastras, that a Vaishnava, he becomes very happy to see that a snake or a scorpion is killed. One time Prabhupada was wondering about this because his Guru Maharaj, there was some snake, and Bhaktisiddhanta said, kill it immediately. Prabhupada had some doubt in his mind, what is this? But then he read that yes, the Vaishnavas, they're happy to see because they're very envious creatures, snakes and scorpions. They'll just sting you without being provoked or bite you. So the devotees were very happy. Yes, this heckler has died. And they were all, you know, Hari Bol, sort of kirtan, Hari Bol. And then they looked up, and then Bhaktisiddhanta, he had his head low. And he looked, and he was crying. He was crying. And they said, Guru Maharaj, why are you upset? This, he was your greatest enemy. He was always heckling you and criticizing you. And he said, no. He said, actually, he was my best friend. Because he was keeping me in a very humble position. He was reminding me that actually I'm lower than the straw in the streets. I'm lower than a worm in stool. Because this is how a Vaishnava feels, a true Vaishnava. They feel themselves very fallen and lower than everyone else. He said, no, actually, he was Krishna's mercy upon me because he was reminding me of my position. I'm just a lowly servant, the servant of everyone. So actually, a devotee doesn't want to hear praise of themselves. They want chastisement, just like Advaita Acharya. One time he started preaching impersonal philosophy so that he would become chastised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another time, Sanatana Goswami, he was thinking to leave because he had this condition where all his body was covered in sores, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept embracing him, and he was thinking, oh, I'm committing so many offenses to Lord Chaitanya. Every time he embraces me, then blood and pus oozes and covers the transcendental body of the Lord. So he discussed with Jagadananda Pandit, and he said, yes, you should go to Vrindavan. You should go make your residence there. So then Sanatana Goswami, he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, oh, Jagadananda Pandit, he has given me some very good advice. I should go to Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started criticizing Jagadananda. Who is this Jagga? He is just an impudent boy. He is instructing you. He says, you are good enough to be my instructor. He said, you are the deliverer of the entire universe. So then Sanatan Goswami, he said, oh, I can understand this Jagadananda Pandit. He is very, very dear to you because you are giving him so much chastisement. So he didn't want to be glorified, Sanatan. He wanted to be chastised. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't mind this chastisement. He was acting in a very humble situation. So therefore ourselves, we should also always try and place ourselves in a humble situation. Because in the temple, so where is a very humble place? Or where is a place where we have to act in a very humble way? In the temple? Well, we do have to act in a humble way in the temple, you're right. But actually, Govinda. In the Brahmachari ashram. Yeah, I was thinking actually on the street, out there on Sankirtan. Because in the temple, it's a fact, we do have to... And naturally, in the temple, everyone treats each other with respect. Banja kalpa trubhyas chakri. We're offering respect to the devotees all the time. But out there on the street, no one cares who you are. You can be a guru. You can be a GBC. You can be a sannyasi. You can be temple president. You can be, you know, this or that. No one cares. Excuse me. I'm you're trying to sell someone a book. You know, I'm a guru, actually. I'm the leader of the, I don't care who you are. You can stick your book where, you get so many different responses, So out there on Sankirtan, when you're out there distributing books or you're out there chanting, distributing prasadam, you're spreading Krishna consciousness, no one cares. No one gives a fig who you are, You're just some person getting in their way. So therefore, it's very important for all of us to, as much as possible, be out there on the front line trying to spread Krishna consciousness, because we're in a very humble situation. And in this way, you don't become too puffed up or proud and think, I'm a nobody. So we should try and place ourselves in this humble situation. Now we're going to have to try and speed things up because we're running out of time a bit here. But this Trinada Pisa Nichana verse, this is Lord Chaitanya's most important instruction. But we could see that he became very angry when Jagai and Madai, they attacked Lord Nityananda. So therefore Lord Chaitanya at this point, he wasn't acting in a very humble way. In fact, Lord Nityananda, he came down and he had to save Jagai and Madai. He said, no, my lord, you cannot kill this Jagai and Madai. If you kill them, then you'll have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Rather, you should kill a demoniac mentality. So this Hare Krishna mantra is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is the incarnation for Krishna in this age, Kali, Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. So therefore, Krishna descends for three reasons, right? He descends to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So therefore, the holy name is also doing these three things. It's delivering the devotees, right? We're all becoming delivered. It's reestablishing the principles of religion. Previously, we were taking all kinds of intoxication and doing so many things, but simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we're now following the principles of religion. And therefore, the Hare Krishna mantra, does it kill the miscreants? Can we go up to someone on the street, Hare Krishna? And, they fall down dead on the street. Has anyone ever experienced that? Not so far. But no, it kills the demoniac mentality. So this is this was Lord Chaitanya's program. So therefore it's described that one should always be meek and humble in their own personal transactions. But if they hear the blasphemy or the or criticism of a Vaishnava or the guru, then Prabhupada says that one should act like fire. Actually, one time I had this experience. I was in Liverpool on Sankirtan, and I'd been listening to some lectures by Vaisheshika Prabhu. And if anyone's heard Vaisheshika Prabhu, he's a very positive... Everything about him is just, his enthusiasm is contagious. He's so positive. And he was stressing in this lecture that we have to be ambassadors of goodwill. Always leave everyone with a favorable impression. Like Vishwambar Prabhu, he did his seminar, leaving everyone with a good impression. So I became so inspired. I thought, yeah, today I'm just going to become the ambassador of goodwill. Leave everyone with a favorable impression. So I went out into Liverpool, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was having a really nice day, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this drunk guy came up to me. It was raining. I was speaking to this one lady. She was interested in taking a book. And then this guy, he said, you're not a monk. And I, no, I am. I'm a monk. I'm from a temple in Scotland where, we have a program here. He said, I don't know the Hare Krishnas, and he was, and I thought, anything I say to this guy's, and I knew it from the beginning, I thought, I'm in trouble here, this guy's going to hit me, you know, anything I say here. So then I thought, well, I've got one friend who works in one of the shops a bit further down, who's a security guard, and he's like a heavy dude, you know, he's like the kind of guy that you want to have as your friends. And I thought, well, I'll make my way down to this shop, and Eric, there's this big black guy, he's really friend, he's good friends with us, whenever we see him, even though after about 10 years I've been seeing him, he still doesn't know Gauranga. He always goes like this. He goes, Gaurang, Gaurang. He always puts his fist out, Gaurang. I said, Eric, it's Gauranga. But still he says Gauranga. So I thought, I'll make my way down to the shop. But I turned my back on this guy, and immediately this guy punched me in the chin, you know. And I got, anyway, it was horrible. I don't want to go into the details before breakfast. But anyway, he split my lip right open. I went into the mirror, I was just like almost fainted looking at my lip. Oh, my beautiful face. Ah. My lip was split right the way down, blood was going everywhere. But the amazing thing was, I was working with one other devotee. I can talk about him because he's not here, with Raghunath Bhatta Prabhu. Raghunath Bhatta, very wonderful Vaishnava. And he said he's never hit anyone in his life. He said, but he knew it. But Raghunath Bhatta, he like follows everything very strictly. He's like, you know, doesn't deviate from the Shastras. So he knows that if someone attacks a devotee, he has to react. So immediately, it was amazing. Lord Nrsingadev incarnated through Raghunath Bhatta. And he just started shouting. He punched this guy in the face, you know. I was like, whoa. I was like reeling, you know. And this guy, Raghunath, started shouting at this guy. I don't even know what he said, you know. Raghunath doesn't quite remember what he said. But this guy was like, he became a bit bewildered. And he just kind of wandered off, you know. Because he had implicit faith in the Shastras. You cannot tolerate seeing a Vaishnava attacked. For yourself, you can tolerate so much, but if you see a devotee being attacked, so he immediately acted like fire. And then I had to go and have stitches. And anyway, that was another story. But anyway, like this, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, they couldn't tolerate this criticism of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, it's described that there's three things one should do if one hears criticism or blasphemy. The first one is one should stop them with argument and higher reason. The second one is that one should give up one's life on the spot. That one's not so much recommended. It's not so good for PR purposes on the street, you know, if devotees suddenly kill themselves. And the third one is go away. So that's probably a good recommendation, to go away. But it's described that because Chandrasekhar Acharya, or Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, they couldn't refute the arguments. Prabhupada describes, therefore it is understood that they are Kanishta Adhikaris. Because a Kanishta means without steady faith. They have neither steady faith, nor they have knowledge of the Shastras. A Madhyam Adhikari has full faith, but he's not so well versed in the Shastras. But an Uttama Adhikari, he has full faith and he has full knowledge of the Shastras. But anyway, just to round it up now, they depended upon Lord Chaitanya to sort out this situation. So in this verse here, it's described now that this Brahmin is coming along. And this is an arrangement by the Lord. So this Brahmin is then going to come and invite Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and meet with these Mayavadi sannyasis. So this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan to deliver these Mayavadi sannyasis. So he made this arrangement. So this is one of Krishna's supreme qualities, his Bhakta Vatsala quality. Senayo ubhayo madhye ratam sthapaya mityuta yavade tannirikshayam yodu kama navastitam. So Arjuna, he is ordering Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, please draw my chariot between these two armies that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. So it's described that Krishna, he has unlimited qualities. He has 64 transcendental qualities, but all of them are unlimited. But his supreme quality is that he's Bhakta Vatsala. And in that particular verse, Arjuna addresses Krishna as a tutor, infallible. So Prabhupada describes how Krishna is infallible because he never fails in his affection for the devotees. So Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they become the servant of the devotees. So because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to please his devotees, he didn't want to see them unhappy, he made this arrangement by which this Brahman would then come along, which is the verse we've read, and then he is going to invite them to come and meet with these Mayavadi sannyasis. So by this pastime, then we can learn, one thing is that we should develop this humility, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and tolerance that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. Another thing we can learn is that we shouldn't tolerate blasphemy or criticism, and at least we should go away. If you can, you know, Lord Nisingadev can incarnate through you, you can punch the guy in the face, but we don't necessarily recommend, right? Somehow or another, we have to react. And the third thing is that we should gain faith that actually everything is happening by the Lord's arrangement. So Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Chandrasekhar, they were disturbed, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made an arrangement by which to please his devotees. So we should have full faith that everything is taking place by the Lord's arrangement, and everything is happening for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna doesn't make any mistakes. In fact, Prabhupada describes in one purport that Lord Krishna, he is never inattentive in his duty of delivering the fallen souls. We're attentive in so many ways, but he doesn't miss a thing. He's always making so many arrangements for us to become delivered. So we should try and practice this verse that that's there in the Ishupanishad. Have faith that the Lord is making all arrangements for our perfect advancement in spiritual life and for our perfect journey to go back home, back to Godhead. So we should try and live by this verse, that one should see everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, see all living entities as passing parcels, and see the Supreme Lord in relation to everything. And in this way, never hate anything or any being. And then in this way, we can become humble and tolerant. And then in this way, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I must apologize, I've gone over time there. But you'll all have to be tolerant with me and humble. So I don't know if there's time for questions now. Yeah, is there any questions or comments, corrections? Back to John Prabhu.